Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Craig Gears with the team at Godot, and we are in the midst of our series, podcast series, on the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. So, again, I'll go around the room, and joining me here today are...
John White with Federal Programs.
Sean Owen with Federal Programs.
Deirdre Smith, Federal Programs.
Eric McGee, Federal Programs.
And once again, I'll say that Deirdre and Eric are the experts that are providing all the insights for us during our series this time. So, John, I'm going to turn it over to you to get this ball rolling.
All right. Today. I'll go ahead and take this first one, Sean, if you're okay with that. So we've been talking, of course, about students experiencing homelessness and what qualifies them for that program, et cetera. I'd like to spend a little bit of time today talking about the academic side, their needs, and what services are available. So can you guys share with us the different kinds of supports and services that families or students or even school staff have access to when working with students experiencing homelessness?
Sure. The McKinney-Vento program, as you might have heard, is a program that removes barriers to full participation in school. So one of the things is you have to get to school in the first place. And so if you had to move due to homelessness, transportation is one of the biggest services that school districts are required to provide, even if they don't have a transportation department, which is can be tricky, but they have to have some option of transportation. Comparable services, children and students experiencing homelessness also are should have access to any supplemental educational services, tutoring that might be needed. They can have expedited evaluations for various programs, special education, talented and gifted. Professional development is one of the things that school district is required to use their funding to implement, not only for themselves, but for the general staff at large. And so those resources can be used just for awareness, health referral services for students that might be experiencing homelessness, defraying the cost of transportation if it's above and beyond what you would normally spend for any other
student. Can we stop there for a minute, John? Because I think people may wonder, transportation, what's that all about? And I know we use this term school of origin a lot when we're talking about kids experiencing homelessness. What do we mean by school of origin, and why is that such an important term when we're talking about supporting these kids?
But school of origin is actually two different places. It can be two different places. It's the school where they were when they originally became homeless, or it was the school where they were last enrolled. A lot of times that's the same school, but in certain cases that might be a different school. But the school of origin is those places where they were prior to being homeless, and when they experience homelessness, that becomes their school of origin. We want to try to reduce the amount of moves that a child has.
And that's really the key, right?
Yeah. So academically, we want them to be stable academically, even though their house life might be unstable. And so one of the things in the law talks about school selection. And so if they had to move because of homelessness and they're out of the school attendance zone they were previously in, they can go back to that school to maintain educational stability. Or if it's in their best interest, they can go to the school where they're currently residing. So they have that kind of choice. Now, some people want to say it's school choice, but it's not really school choice as far as what we know, you know,
like they can
throughout the state.
School, right?
Yeah, but it's there for educational stability, right, for that child and their family.
Either being able to go back to that school you were originally in when you became homeless, or attending the school where you're now residing.
Exactly.
So when we talk about transportation, it's really the district's responsibility under McKinney-Vento if they have students who it's their best interest to stay in that original, that school of origin, as we call it, then the district is really responsible for ensuring that there's transportation within reason. And don't we also say, I mean, if they've moved from South Georgia to live with family in Metro Atlanta, it's obviously unreasonable to bus a student all the way back to the original school of origin, yeah, right?
Certainly, so, you need to look at the distance and safety issues, mm-hmm. the age of the child. Certainly, a older student that might be in their senior year, we might go a little bit further than we would someone that's an elementary school student and have to be on a bus for a long period of time. So all that would be determined in a best interest determination on which school would be the best choice. But as a default, the school of origin is normally the default school. We want to try to keep them in that school of origin if at all possible.
And who's a part of the decision process when it comes down to best placement for this student?
Well, the law states that the parent is a person, or the guardians are people that should be a part of that decision-making process. Certainly, the McKinney-Vento liaison in the district is a part of that process. And so there might be some other people involved, especially if they're part of maybe special ed or some other services that they're required to get, can be a part of that decision-making process. But there should be a process in place that every district has and can go to, and not try to create it on the fly. It should already be in place.
Who has the ultimate determining?
Well, ultimately, it's the LEA that makes that decision, but they cannot make that decision independent or absent of the parent, guardian, and in some cases, the unaccompanied youth.
Yeah. So, Eric, earlier you mentioned that the grant, the focus of McKinney-Vento is access, and Craig and all the other programs that we've talked with, it's the purpose of the program tends to not be about access. It's about educational support, mm-hmm. supplemental support, something like that. Can you reiterate just a little bit? Because that's very different from the other title programs.
We definitely want to remove barriers to full participation in school. So if a student is experiencing homelessness, we want to make sure we get them connected back to school or stay in school and connected to the programs that they're already in. And so that's not something that is necessarily an academic program. It's connecting them or keeping them connected to the programs they're already in. And homelessness is something that usually is a brief period of time for most folks. And so it's a very fluid situation. And so a kid that was homeless this year might not be experiencing homeless the following year. So to track academic progress becomes problematic because they might not be in that situation but for a short term.
So we got a little sidetracked on the transportation piece, but I think it was important.
No problem.
You were going through the other supports and services that families, students, and staff can have access to.
Yeah. One of the things is that the program is unique in a sense because it's more than just academic. It's connecting the students and the parents to other resources that we might not traditionally provide as a school. So we need to look at coordination with other agencies and other organizations that might have a benefit to children and families experiencing homelessness, such as HUD, such as health services, mm-hmm. because all these services are going to help keep that child connected to the school and staying in the school. And so those are some other things that the law allows districts to spend some funds on if there's funding involved with just staying connected to those other services.
So would you say that really is the essence of the grant, where the other grants, as you mentioned, John, that we've talked about over the podcast series, they really focus on academic support as a principal focus of the work? Yours is more about ensuring access to education and the supports that are going to ensure the students stay in school and do well in school. Yeah.
And if there's fees associated with the things they're doing in school, there should be a mechanism to either waive those fees or pay for those fees. So again, full participation in school. So not only the classroom, but the academics, the extracurricular, all those things outside of school, the full school scope.
So it really is wraparound services.
Yes,
it's trying to help these families who are at a low point at the moment make sure that their children don't suffer in school in this temporary situation.
Right, and for them to recognize that there should not be a stigma associated with homelessness.
Sure.
So one of the things that we encourage as we build awareness around the states is for liaisons to actively engage with families and parents to ensure that they realize that the school district is not judging their economic situation, but that they're bringing that wraparound services, holistic approach to assisting the families into the work that they do with McKinney-Vento students and families.
And I mean, I've seen our liaisons at work, and they do a great job at doing exactly what you've talked about. And one great thing that I've witnessed is you really don't know. No one knows who a homeless student experiencing homelessness is, and I think that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I think y'all have done a great job of outlining a lot of the services and support that are available. Can you share with us, with your many years of experience out in the field, some examples of where this is working really well?
So we have countless examples around the state of best practices and wonderful examples of collaboration amongst districts. One that comes to mind is within the Metro Atlanta area, within the 5 to 6 neighboring counties. Those homeless education liaisons over the past 10 to 12 years have formed a transportation collaborative. Eric just articulated the importance of transporting McKinney-Vento students to and from their school of origin to ensure educational stability. Well, these liaisons come together at some points monthly, along with their transportation staff from each district, to find and develop solutions that are helpful for keeping costs low for transporting students, for sharing responsibilities related to transportation, and best practices for just service delivery and program management. So that's one excellent example.
And I think I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and haven't they actually created like meeting points within the metro area where buses from the 5 or 6 districts you're talking about transport kids to that one spot, and the kids then change buses?
Yes, and so depending upon the districts and the location of the students that have needs, there are designated points that these liaisons have collaboratively come up with, and community stakeholders that they've involved, for example, local malls, local shopping centers, that are safe points for families to come together and coordinate bus transportation between school districts.
Awesome.
And they've also come up with wonderful opportunities to collaborate with MARTA and public transportation. And in our districts that are more rural, there have been collaborative efforts with coming up with MOUs between the school districts and local transportation providers as allowable to provide services to McKinney-Vento youth where there might not be as many public transportation resources.
And are there best practices in the rural districts? Because I think you bring up a great point. I mean, in some regards, it may be easier to coordinate and provide supports in a metro area versus a rural area. So are there good examples of best practices you see happening in rural?
Absolutely. And because Georgia, most of our districts would technically be considered less urban than rural, we have seen a high level of engagement with homeless education liaisons and the faith-based community in those districts. One specific example is a district in North Georgia where there was a lack of housing with regard to shelters and transitional housing. And so that homeless education liaison joined a faith-based collaborative in her area, and the faith-based collaborative applied for funding for tiny houses. And so they've actually secured 20 tiny houses in that community to serve the needs of families experiencing homelessness, unaccompanied youth experiencing, who may be on the run from trauma at home, and families fleeing domestic violence. So that's a great example of a need related to McKinney-Vento in the school district expanding to help the overall community and students experiencing homelessness.
That's a great example.
Yeah, very good.
Any other thoughts to share about best practices you've seen? Or
well, one thing is there's different resources to kind of collaborate some of the resources that are needed for homeless children and youth. And so recently we've learned about certain districts using an online platform. And so they get a request for transportation or certain needs, uniforms, materials. And so those come into a platform where they can survey not only those in Georgia, but actually nationwide,
all across
the world, where they can make people can make donations to help children and youth that have been experiencing homelessness. So that platform is fairly new, but a lot of districts in Georgia are starting to learn about it, and it's providing a support that we just couldn't even imagine even 10 years ago.
And the platform is called Proposity. It actually was founded by a former homeless education liaison from Forsyth County, and she has partnered with Georgia Power to get funding across the state so that the platform is free to school districts across the state.
Well, that is a great resource and a great way to end this particular podcast. We're going to wrap up with one more, And I think during that one, we're going to take a look at what you all do here in the state office, your purpose, and some of the structures that you've put in place to support districts. So we'll wrap it up, and we'll look forward to talking with all of you again in the next one.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.